All right. Hey, everybody. Thanks so much for joining us. Today, we have Chris Parham from Parham Heating, Cooling, Plumbing, and Electric out of Trenton, Tennessee. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Hey, Kay. Thanks for having me today. This is pretty cool. Good opportunity.
I love it. Can you start out by just telling us a little bit about yourself, how you got to where you are today, and what milestones did you go through to get to this point?
Oh, yeah. We can go back as far as the very beginning and everything. When I was a kid, I grew up in the trades. When I was 9 years old, my dad had drove a truck all of his life up to that point. And I think he was around 35 or 38 years old. And he decided there had to be a better way to provide for the family and had to be a better life. The last 4 years of his trucking career, he hauled livestock, hauled cattle. And that's a really hard life for anybody that understands that industry, because you can't just pull over and take a break sometimes. You've got to get the livestock where they've got to go. And he was on the road 6 days a week, only home on Sundays, if he got that Sunday. And come home one day, park the truck, told my mom, he said, I don't know what I'm going to do, but I'm not driving a truck anymore. So shortly after that, he enrolled into a vocational school for refrigeration. And that was in 1990. And actually, I think that was in 88 or 89. And it was about an 18-month course at that point in time. And in 1990, Parham Refrigeration was born. He started the business, had one pickup. He was working out of the truck. He was actually working on refrigerators, freezers, window air conditioners, things like that, just to pay the bills while he was going through school. He was doing that on nights and weekends. There's no telling how many window air conditioners and refrigerators he fixed over that 18 months and sold on the weekends through newspapers or whatever. And so about a year later, my mother quit her job at the bank. She, as soon as she started answering the phone, it's like the business doubled. She was doing all the office work. She was running parts and just helped him any way, faster form. And I started carrying his tools for him on nights and weekends and after school. And whenever he needed me, when I wasn't in school, I was usually helping him somewhere. So I grew up in it. I've done all aspects of the trade. And then my junior and senior year, I homeschooled those last 2 years. And while I was homeschooling, I actually went to the same vocational school that my dad did. And I actually had the same instructor that he did right before he retired. His name was Larry Gurley. He was probably one of the best and is still probably one of the best instructors that could have ever been out there. Never found anything the man didn't know. Graduated tech school. Through the years, we just kept growing the business. Somewhere around 2008, 2009, I think, we decided that Parham Refrigeration was no longer the correct name, because refrigeration, people think about refrigerators and freezers. We no longer did that. We were straight heating and cooling. And so we changed the name from Parham Refrigeration to Parham Heating and Cooling. We're still working out of the garage behind the house, a little small office pretty much with a small warehouse. And it's a unique story. We joke about starting in a doghouse. When Dad started the business, he didn't have a shop. He didn't have an office or anything, but we had a dog kennel right behind the house that was like a, I'm going to say it was probably a 20 by 35 concrete pad, had a roof on it, and they raised German Shepherds when I was a kid. So he walled this thing up, and that was our first office, and they had a little small warehouse. And so, yeah, I guess you could say we literally started in a doghouse, and now we've grown it through the years. But in 2016, we wanted to figure out some way to where we could start growing our customer base, also take care of our customers more than what we had been. So we wanted to get into plumbing. We merged with a local plumbing company, and now we're Parham Heating, Cooling, and Plumbing at that point. The end of 2017, we hired our first electrician. Dad and I both were doing all the electrical work that needed to be done associated with the HVAC side of things, but we didn't advertise it because it took us to do the work, and then it's hard to do the work and work on the business too. We only did what was needed for the HVAC side. And then in 2017, we hired our first electrician. We started advertising. We did electrical services at that point, and we've been growing it ever since. We are still to this day a 100% family owned and operated company. That's me, my mother, my father. We 100% run the day-to-day business. We're here. We're all active in it. We're on track this year to be right at 10 million in revenue, on top line revenue. And we've got right at 43 employees today, not counting me and mom and dad as owners, 32 to 35 trucks on the road at any given time. We do all three trades. Like I said earlier, we do the HVAC, plumbing, and electrical. And up until this year and kind of last year, we typically did about a 50-mile radius from this address. Over the past year, that radius is growing, and it's really getting to where we're growing into doing all of Northwest Tennessee. We won't go as far as Shelby County, which is the Memphis area, or the counties that are on the Mississippi state line. That's a little too far for us, but we're branching out to that 60 to 65 mile radius from our home office here in Trenton right now. And it's been a fun ride so far. We've got a bunch of awesome people here working with us on a day-to-day basis. It's getting where it's fun now, and it's been a cool ride so far.
That is such a story. Tell me, what do you think in all the years has made the biggest impact on your growth, would you say? Would it be adding an industry? Would it be, sorry, I have an alarm going off. Would it be adding an industry or adding a type of service to your digital marketing or your marketing? What was the biggest impact in your business, would you say? The turning point, maybe.
So adding the other trades, heating and cooling typically has ups and downs, peaks and valleys. And for people that aren't in the heating and cooling trade, you've got an extremely busy time from, depending on where you're at in the world, it's usually the summertime, and then it's usually the first 6 weeks of cold weather. Yeah. And then in between, it's a low time or a slow time, rather, and or a shoulder season or whatever you want to call it. And then usually right after the cold season, it gets extremely bad. January and February for an HVAC business is like the slowest time ever.
Yeah.
And sometimes if you don't have the calls or you don't plan for that, you don't budget for that, those winter times can be really hard for those businesses. When we added plumbing, that really leveled those peaks and valleys out for us, because when we got into the plumbing, I was exploring the opportunity, and it was like, I asked a guy one time, I said, hey, just out of curiosity, when's your slow time? And he said, I don't really have any slow time. He said, because people flush toilet paper year round. Okay. All right. So that's an interesting perspective. So we got into the plumbing business, and it leveled out the peaks and valleys. Didn't do it 100% because we were really heavy on the HVAC side. We were just getting into plumbing. When we added electrical, that helped level it off a little bit more. That's going to be the number one contributor to it. Number two contributor to the growth, I will say, is the people that we have. And I know that's a cliche thing to say sometimes, but it's truly the people that we have and the people that want to be better today than what they were yesterday. That makes a huge difference. We've got a process on how we run service calls, and getting people to slow down and really take the time with the customer that customer really needs to, so you can do that thorough evaluation, present that customer with every option they truly deserve, not care what option they beat. That's been a big difference as well. Just having certain processes in place and then having good people to run those processes, understanding why they're doing what they're doing, and the customer's mindset. Nobody's ever excited to call us. Nobody ever wakes up this morning and gets excited that their toilet stopped up or that their air quit working.
Yeah.
And understanding that when they call in and being empathetic with them, helping them through that situation, letting them know that, hey, you have called the right company. We're going to send the right technician out there, and we're going to get you taken care of today. That's huge. I think those two are the largest contributing factors with the growth that we've had.
I love that. And I think that might be the first time I've actually heard you or heard someone say it's the people that we have because of that difference. And you're right. And it's a reality check that people aren't like, oh, I want to call my HVAC guy. It's out of necessity. And quite often it's a financial stress. It's a stress on the family just because something's not working. And you're right. You're this entity that comes in and calms things for them because you're like, we got you. You're good. You're in good hands.
It's one of those things, no matter what it is, whether it's heating, cooling, plumbing, or your vehicle or your whatever it may be, when something breaks, there's a lot of questions that goes through your head, even as a consumer ourselves. Who am I going to call? Can I trust them? Are they going to rip me off? What's the price going to be? Can I afford it? Can they fix it today? Can it even be fixed? And I feel like it's our job as CSRs, technicians, installers, managers, owners, to alleviate that stress and let that person know that, yes, you have called the right company. We're going to get this taken care of for you today. And we're going to make it as easy as possible for you to do business with us and get you taken care of as quickly as we humanly possibly can.
I love that. That's incredible. And that's such a huge aspect to building that authority in your area is the trust. You're going into people's homes, which nowadays can be frightening a little bit. You're inviting strangers.
Absolutely.
When you look at the news and everything that happens, you really safeguard your home. Your home is your safe spot. So I love that you touched on that. Thank you, because that is a huge part of it, is having the right people.
Absolutely.
Yeah. What else do you do for getting your name out there? Is there community involvement? Is there traditional marketing? What other things do you love?
We try to hit all aspects of marketing if we can. We do a lot of direct mail. We do radio, TV, billboard. There's some studies out there and statistics, and people are divided on whether or not direct mail is a good avenue or not, if it's a spend or not. There was a statistic that we found from a marketing planning workshop a couple of years ago that the millennials that are now becoming homeowners and things like that really cherish the tangibility of something paper. And come to find out, somebody my age, which is at the end of the Gen X, beginning of the millennial stage, I'm in between. I guess I have an identity crisis there a little bit. If I get a postcard, I'm throwing it away. Yeah. I don't like the junk mail. And come to find out, millennials hold on to it. Older people hold on to it. So I think there's some value with direct mail, and we've seen some return with that. Of course, we do all the traditional radio, TV, billboard. We do some email marketing to our existing customers and things. But as far as trying to get our name out there, one of the biggest things that we work with you guys on is SEO, pay-per-click, the Google LSA. We're trying to grow our social media presence, trying to get good content out there to let people know who we are, show the human aspect of the business. We've got to a point to where it's cool, but at the same time, it's detrimental to an extent where we've got so systematic. We've got our trucks looking so good. We've got our technicians looking good. Everything's uniform, that people think that we're some franchise or a national conglomerate. Or how many locations do you have? What states are you in? We're right here in Trent, Tennessee. We're in West Tennessee. We've got one office. We're getting another office started in Jackson, Tennessee. And that's a shocker to a lot of people. And we want to overcome that. I want everybody to know that we are that family-owned business. My last name is Parham, the same name that's on the side of the trucks. We are here every day as a part of the company, working with the people here to make a difference with our customers and everything. We utilize the social media for that. We do a little bit of guerrilla marketing. And one of the aspects that we do that, we've got one of the largest parades and festivals. And it's supposed to be the oldest or largest. They're going to hate me for butchering this, but it's the oldest running parade and festival, I think, in the state of Tennessee or something like this. West Tennessee Strawberry Festival. There's 70 to 80,000 people attend this parade every year. And it's huge. We try to make sure that we're one of the major sponsors with it every year. We're not the number one sponsor, but we are the number two sponsor. We've been that for the past 2 years. We will be that for the next few years. We always have a truck in the parade. We're on all the advertising with it. We try to advertise in conjunction with it on our side as well. A couple of different things that we've done to go along with that, or guerrilla marketing aspect, is here recently, I have teamed up with one of the local radio stations where every Thursday morning, it's kind of like Chris's Corner. We'll talk about some tech tip or something that's new going on in the industry, or as the seasons are changing. Think about your heating and cooling system, plumbing tips, electrical tips, things like that. And it's been really fun and cool. I had somebody tell me the other day that they heard it and they took one of the tips that I gave and they went and checked their electrical panel to make sure that theirs was safe. And luckily it was cool to get the feedback on that. And then another thing that we did that I thought was really cool, we did it for about 2 years. It seemed to run its course. We did what's called our Ladies Learn event. My wife, Hillary, she's been super awesome at helping us with the marketing. And she's really good at that. She wanted to do a give back to the ladies out there that didn't know how to do some simple plumbing or electrical or heating and cooling things that any homeowner is perfectly capable of doing. So what we did is we had three different nights, one for heating and cooling, one for plumbing, one for electrical. They were spread out through the year. We tried to advertise it as much as possible through social media and different ways and through our email campaigns. And then when the ladies came to our shop in our training room, we'd have like little stations set up, for example, like on the plumbing side of things, talking about why a toilet runs at times or why you hear your toilet running at night. A lot of times it's the flapper, and something as simple as a $5 flapper could fix that toilet. So we'd show the ladies how to do it. We had hors d'oeuvres, we had drinks. We try to make it as entertaining as possible. We'd have one or two of our technicians there that love doing things like that. it's not everybody's thing, but we had some that were really outgoing, really loved it, got into it. Really fun night. We educated a lot of ladies, and typically whoever would volunteer to come up and do something, we would give them that item that they fixed or repaired to take home with their, with themselves to fix it or add it to their own place. One example was, you know, how to change a shower head. Yeah. We had a big fancy shower head wand combo, and we had one lady came up, she volunteered, she put it on, and she was like, that's so simple. I said, yes, ma'am, it is. So we took it back off, boxed it back up. She got to take it home and found out later she actually swapped it out, just loved it. So
that is so cool. And it's really about empowering.
It is. Yeah.
Giving people the tools they need to feel confident about doing it themselves, and also building trust in you. You know, you're basically giving them the opportunity to not have to call someone to do it. So it's really being, it's quite selfless. It's really showing that you care about them rather than their money.
That was one of those things we never, and that wasn't a sales pitch. We didn't try to sell anybody anything when they came. It was truly to give back and educate and have a good time and let people know that plumbing and electrical and HVAC isn't that scary. Yeah. Here's some things that you can do yourselves. And if you don't feel comfortable with it, by all means, give us a call or call somebody else, whatever. We're here for you if you need us, but here's some things that you can do.
Yeah, that is so cool. And when I called you earlier today, you were busy on a job that's rather special. Tell us a little bit about that one.
So talking about guerrilla marketing, getting our name out there a little bit, we've run a couple campaigns here lately. The one that I was on the phone with you or doing while I was on the phone with you is our Old and Ugly Water Heater contest. This is the third year that we've ever done this. And what we do is we try to blast it on the radio, social media, every marketing outlet that we can think of to let people know about it. And all they have to do is if you want to enter your old and ugly water heater that's rusted, leaking, not keeping up, whatever, take a picture of it, go to our website, load the picture, give us a little bit of information about yourself, and you're entered to win.
Man.
So we did the same thing with the old and or with the shopping electrical panel contest. We wrapped that up a couple months ago. Just got that finished up as well. But yeah, we were installing the water heater for the lady that won. And what we do is we print off all those pictures, and we have a panel of judges that goes through all of the pictures. They don't have any information on the people, the customers, where they're at, or anything like that. And they're strictly taking pictures and judging who is the winner from the pictures that are submitted. Unfortunately, there's some that probably need to be swapped out, but they didn't take a good picture. We didn't have the information needed. We go, or the panel of judges actually goes off of those pictures and they pick a winner. And we were able to actually award that on live radio Tuesday.
Oh.
So I called the lady that won it and let her know. I had the radio station nervous because that was a last minute idea. I come in, I said, hey, just out of curiosity, could we call this person live and let them know? I haven't even told them they won. And they worked with me on it. It was a really good experience. It's a really cool thing. It sounded like she got super emotional when we let her know that she won. And it's just a really good thing. It gives us an opportunity to give back. And there's no strings attached with it by any means, fashion, or form. And then what we do for everybody that submitted an entry, we give them a coupon for significant savings. And then we also give them a whole house or whole home plumbing inspection or electrical inspection or whatever it may be.
Amazing. I love that. What a really cool give back story, an opportunity to bless somebody in the community. And really, it's a fun thing to do. It gets people talking about it. And it's really just showing your involvement and how you are like woven into the community. And the fact that they hear your voice all the time on the radio, that's really just building that trust factor for you. That's amazing. Let's talk about, on the other side of that coin, something that you've tried, something that you've done that hasn't worked, and you shot your shot and it just wasn't something that worked for you guys.
Unfortunately, I've got to go back to the ladies learn. It was such a really good event when we first started it. And at the end of the second year, it was like, no matter what weekend or what, see, we were doing it on Thursday nights. Mondays and Fridays are never good. Wednesdays, a lot of people are going to church on Wednesday nights. So you've got Tuesdays and Thursdays. And it seemed like no matter what Thursday we picked, even on the Tuesdays, it was always conflicting with so many major events going on in the area. It seemed like every school had ball practice. There was cheerleading practice. It seemed like every community event possible was having their event on those nights. And then the last two that we had, our attendance really dropped down. And then the very last one that we had, one lady showed up. We treated her like a queen when she was here. And we went through the whole process. We went through every little station we had set up, and she absolutely had a ball with it. She loved it and gave us a lot of good feedback. And she was actually one of our really good customers. She's been a customer with us for a long time. So it was cool to be able to give back to her. But with the low return on that, not a lot of people coming, we decided to just put it on hold for a little. So we've since added on to our shop. We've got a bigger training room. We've got some different features as far as an outdoor space now that could be incorporated in. So I don't know. It may still be on the books. We may end up doing it again, but we decided to just put it on hold for us.
Okay. Thank you for sharing. It's all about trying different things and seeing what works and what doesn't. And sometimes it's just not the right time. Great idea, just maybe not the right time. I know some people find those things are a little more easy to run in the winter time when maybe there's not a lot else going on. But I know as a mom of a bunch of teenagers, it is hard to fit things in during the week sometimes.
Yes,
it seems like every sports activity falls on the same day. So it makes it tough. But good on you for trying and still keeping that idea there, maybe just on hold and reconfigure it a little bit or think about it differently and run it again. So that's really cool.
I don't think we buried it completely. It's one of those things where, like I say, we put it on hold for the moment. And I think we could, you know, maybe advertise it or tweak it a little differently somehow to where we can get the word out better. I don't know. I don't really know where we went wrong on it. I think it was a really cool experience, and I think it was a really good thing. I think a lot of people had a really good time with it. But as you said, we're all busy nowadays. It's like everybody's schedule is jam-packed, and it's just hard to find those dates where you can spend a couple hours doing something like that.
So true, yeah. On that note, is there a Parham Junior that is going to maybe one day take the reins from you?
Not at the moment. Not at the moment. No kids yet.
Okay. Yeah. It's so cool to hear your story. And it's really neat to hear that you still get to work with your parents, because that is such a lost art these days. My grandparents are my best friends. There's nobody on the planet I'd rather road trip with. I'm blessed. My grandmother has recently passed on, but my grandfather is 95 and he loves to, he walks 5 kilometers a day. He will do a road trip as long as we can stop every hour. But my best friend. And so I grew up in that.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I grew up in that intergenerational relationship, and there's a lot to be said for it. So I'm really, really stoked to hear that it's still alive and kicking in your area, and that you have that opportunity to show other people how that can be successful as well. It's not easy working with family, and it's not. And it really shows other people that are considering it, that it can be done and that there's room for everybody. And if you manage those relationships, great. It's going to be a success. So thank you for sharing that. Thank you for being here with us today. Thank you for sharing your story. What one piece of advice would you give somebody who is standing on the edge of that doorway and thinking to start their own company and not quite sure what direction to go, or they have their own company, they just walked through that door and they just want to know what the best decision is for that first step? What would you recommend?
So the very first thing that comes to mind is something that is top of mind, because we just did an exercise with the whole company just to show why we charge what we charge. The number one thing is get your prices right. Figure out what you've got to have to cover all of your overhead. Pay yourself a salary, because that's the number one thing that I think a lot of people forget about when they're looking at overhead, is your paycheck is an overhead item. Your salary is an overhead item. And a lot of first-time business owners, they're living out of the profits of their business. That's not your salary. That's the profit of the business to keep it healthy through those slow times that we talked about earlier with an HVAC company. And the profits are there to buy tools, buy an extra van, hire the next employee that may not be as efficient on his first 2 to 3 or her first 2 to 3 months. And ultimately, make sure that you know what you need to be charging to cover all of those expenses. And if you don't know how to come up with it, get help. Ask for a coach. Find somebody to help you with that. Because if you don't come out of the gate charging with what you need to be charging to pay for all those things, you won't survive the first year. And I think that's the most crucial thing that anybody should do. And even if you've been in business for a little while, business changes. Our business is not the same business it was today as what it was a year ago, or even 10 years ago. And a lot of people think that because we're the size we are, it's way more expensive to operate than what it would be as one guy in a truck.
Yeah.
It's not necessarily the truth a lot of times, because if you broke the overhead down per truck, we may actually be cheaper than the one guy in the single truck. And you don't know that until you actually put pen to paper and actually know what your expenses are. And one of the things that we do in our company quite a bit, we do it with every new person. We do what's called the one truck. And we sit down and we say, hey, Ms. K, we're going to create K's plumbing today. And I ask that, you know, each person, I want you to list out every overhead item that you can possibly think of. First off, we go over what is overhead. You know, it's all the expenses that's going to hit, all the bills that's going to hit the mailbox or your inbox on your emails, whether you turn a wrench or not. And then most of the time, most people will come up anywhere from 6 to 10 overhead items. This little exercise that we do, I can pull out a worksheet that shows about 34 to 35 overhead line items that any business is going to have. And it doesn't matter if it's plumbing and or a furniture business, you're going to have these expenses. And it's a light bulb moment. It's a shocker moment for most people because they don't realize how expensive it is to be in business.
Yeah.
And just because you're going in and you're making $100 more than what you get paid per hour, more than likely you're losing $200 or $300 per hour if you don't get your prices right. That would be my number one piece of advice for anybody that's on the edge thinking about starting their business. Know that number, get to know it very well. And then every 3 to 6 months or a year, you need to update it. Do a reality check. See if that number is still good or if it needs to change.
Yeah, definitely. That's great advice. The most successful people we work with, they know their goal. They know where they came from and they know where they're going. And that is, otherwise you're wandering. So knowing those numbers is so important. And I think that's some really solid advice.
Another thing to piggyback on that, a lot of people, you know, what is this company charging? Or what is this company charging? And they try to find somewhere in the middle or try to be cheaper than the next person. It really doesn't matter what the other person's charging. It only matters what it's taking to run your business and keep your doors open, keep your lights on, and be able to provide that five-star service experience and then be there a year from now if they need you again. Yeah. And if you don't get your prices right that fits your business, you won't be there next year.
Yeah, that's so true. Well, I appreciate you sharing that. Thank you so much.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Thank you for joining us today. And we really appreciate your time. And I can't tell you how much this will benefit someone who's listening to it. Just sharing your walk and what you've been through and what you've tried, what's not worked for you. So all of that is really important for people to hear and I'm really grateful for it. And thank you for joining us.
Hey, thanks for having me tonight. It's been a pleasure.
Awesome. Okay. Talk soon.
Sounds good.